This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
My name is Patrick J. McGinnis, and I coined the term FOMO. That's short for fear of missing out, and it's why some people end up following the crowd. But we're not like them. We're part of a new species that isn't afraid to do things differently. I call us FOMO sapiens. And this is the show where you'll meet people like us, phenomenal FOMO sapiens, to learn how they find the courage and the ideas to live exceptional lives.
FOMO. FOMO.
Welcome back to FOMO Sapiens, the show for people who don't just follow the crowd, but instead take their own path to success in business and in life. I'm your host, Patrick J. McGinnis, venture capitalist by day, author and podcaster by night. And of course, FOMO Sapiens 24/7. And my guest today is Catherine Fantozzi, the co-founder and CEO of Apollo Neuroscience. And Apollo is this company that has developed and launched the first scientifically validated wearable technology that actively improves energy, focus, and sleep. Now, dedicated to innovation, Catherine believes in getting good science out of the lab and into people's lives. And as CEO, she's raised more than $20 million and built a team of physicians, researchers, engineers, and designers to transform the Apollo technology from a futuristic concept into a simple but powerful tool. Prior to founding Apollo, she helped develop and launch a $20 million tech commercialization accelerator through the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority. And she is a graduate of Smith College and earned an MPA at the Rockefeller College of Public Affairs and Policy. Now, the reason that I wanted to have Catherine on the show is that I got in the mail this device, the Apollo Neuro device. And I love that kind of stuff. I love devices that improve our lives. And so I started playing around with it and I just wanted to find out more. And so I invited her on the show and our conversation is very interesting because this is something that there's a lot of science there, but there's also kind of a consumer element to it. And so you have to marry the two. And you're going to hear in this interview that she did exactly that. She actually married her co-founder, who is the science person. She's the commercialization person. And so they came up with this idea as a couple and figured out how to launch this business. We're also going to talk about how she creates engagement for the product because it's a wearable and there's a lot of competition out there. And they got to kind of convince people that this thing actually works. And that is not easy, especially in a world where, you know, people want instant gratification. And finally, we're going to talk about how this married pair of co-founders separates work and the rest of their lives. Because as we know, working with people you care about, whether it's a partner or a family member or a friend, it can get messy. And so she has some really good thoughts on that as well. Now, my small ask for the month, as you know, we're in Bold Thinkers Month, and I want you to do something bold. Go check out FOMOSapiens.com/store. Check out the merch that we have in there. It's high quality. I promise you, I tested it all. We have some cool designs and I've been wearing mine around and getting good feedback. We've had a bunch of people who've been buying these products and telling me that they're happy with them. So join the group, check it out. Let me know what you think. And send me a picture of you wearing your FOMO Sapiens gear. I would love that. All right. And now on to the interview. As you know, I ask the same question to every guest. And the question is this: what's the most important decision that you've had to make to get to where you are today?
Well, first of all, Patrick, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here. You know, I think the main thing was to just do it. When we were thinking about Apollo in the beginning, it started out as research at the University of Pittsburgh. And when the initial research results came in, I was very much impressed. And then I prototyped it for about 18 months and 3,000 people. And we were seeing that the results we were getting in the lab were consistent in the real world. And I knew, having been in early commercialization on the funding side, how much work it is to really just start a company and bring something to market. And with that appreciation, I decided, you know, there's no other time to do this. Really, the time is now. And also, you know, if I didn't, then this technology, which could have helped so many people, would sit on a shelf at the university. And so I think the biggest decision is just to go all in and jump into the deep end feet first.
I like that. I like it. It's true. You're not the first person to say that. And so this is, you know, a very fundamental part of being an entrepreneur. Now, we're going to talk about your journey today and this wearable that you've created. Now, I have the wearable on my ankle right now. And so we'll explain what it does and everything, but you were kind enough to send me one. And so I am going to ask you to help me choose which mode to put it on.
Okay.
Now, guys, just so you know, I'm looking at the app. There's things like energy and wake up, social and open, rebuild and recover. And I've been trying it out for a couple of days. So what should I use right now? I'd like to know.
So how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling, well, to be very honest, I shouldn't say this in public, but I had a very late night.
Okay.
And so I woke up very late. I'm drinking my coffee, but I'm feeling good and I'm excited to be talking to you. So I kind of need recovery, but also I need to have like a little energy to be able to have a great conversation.
Okay, great. So I would choose social and open. Social and open is a mode that basically helps. I mean, I use it every day pretty much for Zoomageddon, interviews, and also creative work. So it helps the body transition into a state where you have a little bit of energy, but you're also relaxed.
All right. I just kicked it off. I'll let you guys know how it, yeah. Well, I guess you'll know if I'm charming today, whether it works or not, but
yeah, that'll totally depend on us. And then, the other thing to know is just set the intensity where you can feel it and you just notice it. But after a minute or two, it should fade into the background. If it's more intense than that, then you have it up too high.
Yeah, that's been my experience so far. Okay, this is good. All right, I'm ready to go. So let's get into the questions. Now, Catherine, I have been doing my research on you, and I got to say, your story feels like it was written in the stars. It's a nice story. You built your career around tech commercialization. That's kind of where you had your expertise. And then you meet this co-founder who had built his career in psychiatry, and you go on to kind of marry those two experience bases to create this wearable that sort of works with stress and all kinds of other outcomes. So I just used the word Mary in there. Let's start with the story behind this thing, how you met your co-founder and, you know, how it became a business, this chance meeting.
Sure. So, funny you say Mary, my co-founder and I are now married, Dr. David Rabin. So the way this all went down is my background, as you said, is early technology commercialization. In a prior life, before Apollo, I started an early stage fund at the Energy Authority in New York. And what we did was we identified early stage tech that was coming out of labs and determined whether or not the technology had merit. And also, is it the right team to get the product commercialized? And if so, we would fund them and then help them with whatever it was that they needed, whether that was marketing or demonstration sites or getting IP out of the lab or through the university. And so David and I had met and were engaged and went down to the University of Pittsburgh, where David was doing research on what would become Apollo. And about 2 years into his research, the University of Pittsburgh approached him and his lab and wanted to give them funding if they participated in these innovation competitions for early stage stuff like prototyping. And Dave came home and said, this is not an NIH grant. They're talking about pitch decks and marketing and channels, and I'm not sure what this is about, but can you come to the meeting and see if this is worth our time? And so I showed up and said, you know, this is very interesting what you're working on. I'd be happy to help. Ask your team if they want my assistance. And if they do, I'm happy to just, you know, pro bono help you guys. And so the rest is history. I joined the University of Pittsburgh research team basically as a free entrepreneur in residence and helped them raise about $500,000 over the course of a year for their early stage clinical trials. And they ran several at the University of Pittsburgh. And when the you know, I'm from New York and I'm very skeptical. And so when the initial double-blind randomized placebo-controlled crossover trial came back and showed that Apollo could actually help improve people's resilience to stress and change their cardiovascular metrics under stress, I was really impressed. And then we prototyped and demonstrated that we could get consistent results in the real world. And it was at that moment that I decided that we would start the company. And David is really the clinical arm. He leads all of our clinical trials and the medical development and that side of the business on R&D. And I'm the basically the executive leadership at the company. And so, you know, I've raised all the funding and built the team out. And, you know, we launched to market in January of 2020.
FOMO.
Tell me if this sounds familiar. Your business gets to a certain size and the cracks start to emerge. Things you used to do in a day are taking a week. You don't have one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. Happy birthday. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close the books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1. Because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs. Those are key performance indicators in one efficient system. Now, FOMO Sapiens, you know the show is all about making better decisions. And with this product, you can make better decisions because you have all the information you need right in one place. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/FOMO. That's netsuite.com/FOMO to get your own KPI checklist. Because you know what? KPIs are better than ice cream. netsuite.com/FOMO. Tudo bem, meus queridos FOMO sapiens? Now that right there was Portuguese. And as you know, I love speaking foreign languages. But I'm not alone. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off that list with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Now, FOMO Sapiens, you know I speak 4 languages, and it takes work to stay on top of them, especially with French. C'est difficile. But with Babbel, I'm able to practice practical conversations that I can actually use in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/FOMO. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FOMO. That's spelled BABBEL.com/FOMO. Rules and restrictions may apply.
FOMO.
Tell us more about the product. How would you classify exactly, you know, where you fit into the market? Are you, you're a wearable, of course. Is this a medical device? And how does it actually work?
Apollo actually isn't a medical device. Apollo is a wellness wearable. And we did that on purpose because Apollo uses low frequency sound waves to stimulate the nervous system. And so that sounds really complicated, but it really isn't. As with all things that that really make a difference, sometimes it's a really elegant but simple solution. So what happened was that David, his background is, as you said, in psychiatry and also neuroscience. He's been studying chronic stress for 20 plus years. And he was working with patients who have PTSD and anxiety and all the things that come with that. And what he was really inspired about was that, you know, often people come to Dave in order to try to get off of as many habit-forming medications, right? And to try to have more regulation over their own moods and their sleep, et cetera, without as many, you know, confounding factors, because sometimes they have to deal with unwanted side effects. And, you know, David was doing biofeedback and, meditation practices and breath work with his patients. But then, you know, as with the rest of us, doing those practices is really valuable, but actually pretty hard to learn if you're stressed, because your body is in fight or flight mode. And if you're in fight or flight mode, it makes it everything harder. It's why the Haagen-Dazs and, you know, streaming Netflix is much easier when you're stressed out than exercising. Even though exercising is better for you, is because your brain is looking for relief. And so he's thinking to himself, why am I setting my patients up for failure? Why are any of us setting our patients up for failure? The real key here is that people feel safe. And that's ultimately what happens when we get too stressed out, when we don't sleep, we can't focus, When we get really stressed out, we're distracted, our mind is racing, it's harder to be effective, and it's harder to learn new things. And so Dave mapped out all the sensory responses in the body that could induce safety, and found that, there's lots of things, right? There's music therapy. We all know about that. We know about biofeedback. Some people may know about biofeedback, which is a way of entraining yourself to be more mindful. And we all know meditation, right? Guided meditations. People are familiar with those. And so Dave looked at all these ways to stimulate recovery in the body and realized that touch is often overlooked. And touch is also something that you can have with you wherever you are, right? You can use that when your kids are screaming in the back of the car, or you have to give a big presentation, or you have a million Zoom meetings. You can have this with you. Whereas music, really, really valuable, but you can't always be listening to music, right? You can't always have the perfect lighting around you. You can't always be meditating unless you're a monk. And so we developed Apollo as a tool that could help people recover from stress wherever they were. And we could have very easily gone down just a straight regulated path. But what I realized when we were testing this in the prototyping phase is that we had these kinds of results where we had people who had their resting heart rate come down and their heart rate variability improve and their sleep improve. We're in healthy populations. And so pretty much, anybody, which the pandemic kind of taught us, can use some benefit of recovering from stress and getting better sleep. And so we didn't want to pigeonhole the product.
Yeah. So question for you, I think about this, I'm using it right now, as I said, and it kind of reminds me a little bit, and I want to get your take on this one.
Okay.
So I had a guest on the show, I don't know, maybe 3-4 months ago, a little longer, named Catherine Hamm, and she is the founder of Barabee, which makes weighted blankets.
Okay.
And I started using the blanket, and it's a game changer for me. Like, I sleep in a way that I've never slept before. And the reason why is it's like, it kind of just comforts your whole central nervous system. And you just feel when you get under that blanket. I mean, like, sometimes I'll be like, please come and get me later on, because I can't escape the blanket because I sleep so deeply. Uh-huh. But when I tried the wearable, it kind of reminded me a little bit. It's like all of a sudden I felt like kind of chilled out in a way that I wasn't a little bit before. I'm curious if what's happening with those two products has some similarities or not. Just for folks that have a weighted blanket, maybe they can better understand what your tech does.
So Apollo, in terms of the sensory, a weighted mm-hmm. blanket is soothing because the pressure and the weight help us sleep by, stimulating a feeling of safety. But Apollo is a little bit different. I would liken Apollo more to breath work. There are certain ways that you can breathe to excite your nervous system, right? To get yourself focused. For instance, Marines use box breathing in order to get into a very focused state called a flow state, or, in the zone, as people would say. And then there are other breath work techniques in order to enter a meditative state or to get yourself to sleep. And so Apollo has a kind of a spectrum where it's not just calming, but it also helps you, your nervous system, transition into an intended state. And so you had alluded to the modes in the app, right? Starting with energy and focus, and then going all the way down the list to relax and sleep. And what those modes are like songs for your body. So think of it as music composed for your skin instead of your ears, that helps your body transition into that state, whether that's a social state or a sleepy state, in the way that soothing music helps you calm down and more wakeful music helps you wake up.
That's helpful. I'm going to combine the two. I'm going to put this thing on and get under the weighted blanket. I'll see you in 3 months. Now, the thing about this is kind of interesting is, I have to think, getting people to like believe in the product because if you've tried breath work, for example, like the example you give, I'm like, all right, I get that. But for somebody who hasn't done those kinds of things and you're like, okay, put this thing on, turn it on, and you're going to see a measurable improvement in your life. I have to imagine some people look at it and they're like, I don't know. And then they don't use it. And so, cause it's not like one, you know, one session and suddenly you get it and you're like, wow, I'm feeling way better. This is a thing that takes some time, like anything else. Like you don't, there's no magic fixes for anything in life. So how do you get people, you know, how do you create the habit, right? So much of, you know, habit formation is FOMO or other things that we talk about on the show, but how do you create the habit for your user that they stick around long enough to see the benefits?
So actually we have really high engagement. Our users on average are using this thing for several hours a day. And the reason for that is because Apollo is really easy. So I'll answer the question in two parts. The first one is, how do you get people to believe? And I think what distinguishes us from other technologies is that, and other things in this space, is the amount of evidence for the efficacy of the product. I mean, we've done 6 trials, the first of which was a double-blind randomized placebo-controlled crossover trial. And we have 13 ongoing trials in the moment with academic and institutional partners across the country that are all investigator-sponsored, meaning researchers and institutions go out and have funding and want to test Apollo for either their patients for certain health conditions or to see whether or not Apollo can augment something for their user base and people. And so I think, you know, most other things don't have that much evidence to demonstrate that Apollo is improving deep sleep on average by 19% or improving your heart rate variability by, you know, 11, 12% on average if you use the thing consistently. And so that's the first bit. Is that, you know, Apollo was born from research. We actually never intended to make a consumer product from the very beginning. What we were trying to do was to identify a new way to help people regulate stress. And then when we realized how many applications it had and how important it was that the safe tool be available to people, that's when we decided to create the product. So I think that's the first thing is just, you know, it's real and it's backed by science. And you can go look at all the studies and see for yourself. In terms of the habit forming, I think the main thing for us and the ethos behind Apollo is show, don't tell. So, you know, the entire, you know, for me, you know, I am fully a learning meditator, right? I am not good at it. I'm not going to pretend I'm good at it. I am a very good, you know, at cycling and tennis and skiing and that sort of thing. But sitting quietly, meditating in that particular way is not the easiest thing for me. And so I really relate to a lot of people who have aspirations of doing all these wellness things, but then ultimately it's pretty challenging. And so Apollo helps create that state in the body for you to become aware of it without you having to do anything. And so it's actually fairly simple for someone to integrate it into their life because all they have to do is put it on and select their goal in the app and it just turns on and helps them. And there are people who track and see the evidence by tracking their progress over time in terms of their biometrics. And there's other people who just see that they're sleeping better and that they have better emotion regulation, right? Like they are more in control of their responses to other people. Cause like we all know that feeling when you're too tired and you get caught off in traffic and you're really likely to just kind of react to somebody. And when you versus when you've slept well and you're coming back from, you know, a day at the park, you're way less likely to be reactive. And when your body is in this more balanced and calm state, you have a lot more control over what you pay attention to, what you focus on, how you respond to others. And that's really empowering for a lot of people and keeps them coming back.
FOMO. FOMO.
You know, on this show, we talk about meditation because I'm like you. I tried forever and I finally started about 3.5 years ago meditating every day. And I always say when people say like, okay, what did you get out of it? It's like my ability to freak out has declined by 95%. Mm-hmm. And so I can see now with the use case that you're kind of giving us, it's for if you can have regulated emotions, just like everything in life is a little easier or a lot easier if you can live life that way. So that's a powerful tool that you can give people. And I do kind of get your point. And just I'm wearing it right now. Like I don't even notice it, right? So it's kind of like set it and forget it. And so, you know, for folks who are curious, it could be an interesting thing to experiment with. Now, I do want to talk about building this business because one of the things, and I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but I do think it's an interesting point is, you know, many of us, we dream of starting a business with our partner or with a family member. And we had a discussion recently. I'm on the investment committee of a VC fund, and we had a management team that was a husband and a wife. And we were like, it was a thing we talked about. Is there risk here or is there a benefit here? And we hadn't encountered that before because it's a newer fund, but I started asking around at other VC funds, you know, do you have many companies in your portfolio where you have a married couple that's running the business? And in fact, it's pretty common, and which surprised me. So I was curious, you know, as you're building this business, number one, you know, let's just start with how do you create a healthy environment, you know, for those of us who maybe want to do this, where, you know, you have a separation between the business you're building, but also, you know, the rest of your life.
Dave and I have a pretty firm routine. So around, you know, dinner time, work stops. It just is over. And so we don't talk about it anymore. And we're also pretty good where if the other person says, hey, I totally hear you about that, can we make a note? Because I just need to wind down right now. Like, I can't talk about that right now, but I can talk to you about it tomorrow morning. And we're both really good about that. The other thing that we do to really establish balance is that we're really clear with each other's calendars, which honestly was the best when we first got it started and creating a rhythm, right? Because Dave always knew what I was working on and I always knew what he was working on. And so we don't really run into each other that much. You know what I mean? We don't step on each other's toes. And it's actually been an amazing attribute because what I want in a co-founder, what I want in a partner, is somebody who can watch my blind spots and can help push things forward with me, but also cover my back when I'm have to go pay attention to another thing. Because we all know in a startup, sometimes there's a fire drill, right? And you got to go take care of it, and somebody else needs to watch the stove, right? So to speak. And Dave and I are very good at handing off that way. And so, you know, in the very beginning when we first launched, that we did run into people who were very concerned that we were married. And, you know, honestly, I think it's one of our greatest assets because we're totally unified, right? You know, the business is part of our life, but the other part is, you know, it's a privilege, right? Working on this is fun. It's not always fun. There are hard days, but, you know, I enjoy the people I work with. I am very grounded and excited by what we do and what we're delivering to the world. And we love building stuff together, right? This isn't our first go round, you know, and we like building, we like creating, and we have really complementary skill sets. And I just, you know, this is the most fun I've ever had at work is working with Dave.
That's a great story. And I have a little strategy for you, which is if you're at home at night and one of you wants to talk about work and the other doesn't, the person who doesn't want to should steal the other person's phone and set their Apollo to the relax and unwind mode. And then
that will work.
That would totally work. I mean, I just, cause I was thinking like, you know, you have these devices on, you're living your business. So that there, you just implement that. Now you did talk about talking to investors. And I think, you know, again, you know, as I think about the world of VC, some we talk about all the time on the show, it's like flavor of the month, right? Mm-hmm. 1 month, everybody wants to invest in pet tech. Then it's, you know, whatever, it's wearable tech, right? And so there has been this huge wave of wearable tech companies. Some of them will be, you know, big winners in the space and will go on to become, you know, public companies. Others will disappear because they're not differentiated. Now, you have science on your side here. You've done a ton of work in that space. But I'm curious, I imagine you sit in front of VCs and they're looking at a lot of companies in the space. Like, how do you separate yourself, you know, in terms of just in a world where there's so much competition and where VCs are distracted and you know how they are, they don't want to commit. So you've raised, you know, significant money, more than $20 million for folks that aspire to do that. Like, what has been your secret to raising that kind of capital?
Well, you know, actually, I got really good advice from Phil Libin, who you might know from Evernote and then also from Mm-hmm. And Phil gave me some advice where he said, there's a lot of money in the world and don't waste your time with someone who doesn't get it. Just move on because there's someone else who will. And Apollo is a really new kind of concept. I mean, it's really an entirely new category of wearable, because there were wearables in the beginning, you know, that tracked certain metrics like steps, and they got people oriented to tracking something about their body, and it was interesting. And then we moved to wearables that track more in-depth information about ourselves, because the sensors got better. So, you know, around our sleep or cardiovascular metrics. But Apollo is an entirely different kind of wearable, because it doesn't necessarily just track. It also, and it primarily, changes, right? If you feel tired, you can put this on and it can help you not feel tired. If you feel stressed out and distracted because, who knows, you didn't get enough sleep, maybe you were late dropping your kid off at school and you've got 1,000 things in front of you, you can put on Clear and Focused and get improved heart rate variability and clarity of mind to get all the things on your to-do list done. And if you can't sleep, Apollo can help regulate parasympathetic tone. It can help basically work as a meditation to help you unwind without you having to do anything. And that's an entirely new paradigm. And so the investors who are behind us are excited about the clinical applications about what we're doing. And they're also really excited about the ability to, through our sense of touch, which is a totally new medium, through our sense of touch, use a technology that can help us be more human. You know, I look at Apollo as a technology that helps to undo a lot of what technology has done to us. And that's, you know, our guidepost, right, is really helping people take control over how they feel, what they choose to pay attention to, and to help them get better sleep, because we're all a lot better, you know, honestly, when you can feel calm and have that moment of pause and feel restored, people can be themselves, whether that's, you know, a great parent or an innovator or a creator, whatever it is. If you feel balanced and you feel like you're in control over how you respond to things, you're in charge of your own destiny. And, you know, our investors have really been behind that. It's a whole new, different way to think about what we do. It's about creating internal environments for people, not just tracking their metrics.
All right. The company is Apollo Neuro. You can find out more at apolloneuro.com, on Instagram at Apollo Neuro, on Twitter at Apollo_Neuro, and on Facebook at Apollo Neuroscience. Catherine Fantozzi, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
FOMO.
If you like today's show, please be sure to rate it and recommend it to your friends. And as always, you can find me on Instagram at Patrick J. McGinnis, on Twitter at PJ McGinnis, and on the web at FOMOsapiens.com or PatrickMcGinnis.com, where you can get all kinds of free resources to live a more decisive and entrepreneurial life. FOMO Sapiens is recorded in New York City. Theme music FOMO is by Mike McGinnis, and editing and post-production is by Josh Elstro. If you like today's show, please be sure to rate it and recommend it to your friends. FOMO. And as always, you can find me at FOMOsapiens.com and at PatrickMcGinnis.com. To advertise on FOMO Sapiens, reach out to contact@FOMOsapiens.com. FOMO.